penance, the sacrament of forgiveness and peace. The decline in confessions is tragic. General absolution, the fundamental option, priestly criticism of confessions of devotion, and other abuses are widespread. Militant but charitable Catholics, by absorbing all that Father teaches, can be a big help in bringing this sacrament back into frequent use. After hearing his words of wisdom, let's resolve to do something about it. Father Harden.
Good evening. Suppose we start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Mary, Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our conference this evening is on penance, the sacrament of forgiveness and peace. During his first visit to the United States 20 years ago, Pope John Paul II pleaded with the bishops to do something about the drastic drop in confessions in so many American dioceses. I quote the Holy Father. In the face of a widespread phenomenon of our time, when so many of our people are among the great numbers who receive communion, make little use of confession, we must emphasize Christ's basic call to conversion. He must also stress that the personal encounter with a forgiving Jesus in the sacrament of reconciliation is a divine means which keeps alive in our hearts and in our communities a consciousness of sin in its constant and tragic reality, which actually brings forth, by the action of Jesus and the power of his Spirit, fruits of conversion in justice and holiness of life. Unquote, Pope John Paul II. Underlying this phenomenal decline in confessions is an error of factual history that must be corrected. So many professed Catholic writers are saying that Christ did not institute the sacrament of penance, or at least Jesus did not require the confession of sins to a priest to receive sacramental absolution. I'll never forget waiting over a year to get an imprimatur for one of my books because I said that Jesus instituted the sacrament of confession. Books and articles are being published that claim confession of sins to a priest is a late innovation in the Catholic Church. General absolution is becoming habitual in so many places. In 19 centuries of Catholic history are being ignored as though they did not exist. One diocese I know, 40 parishes give general absolution. Individual confession only by special telephone appointment with a priest. However, there was a deeper reason for this widespread phenomenon, which I do not hesitate saying plagues the Catholic faith in our day. The deeper reason is a so-called fundamental option theory, condemned by the Holy See in 1975. I consider this fundamental option heresy as a root cause of the breakdown of Catholicism in many countries of the Western world, including our own beloved United States. According to this theory, there can be no serious sins such as murder or adultery, because the actions are gravely wrong. No mortal sin, it is claimed, with the loss of sanctifying grace, is ever committed by a person unless that individual not only commits murder or adultery or perjury, but with his whole heart rejects God. As I've told my students over the years, only the devil totally rejects God. This heresy, widespread. I could have mentioned some very well-known theologians, widely read throughout the world, as the sources of this heresy. Clearly, this subverts the whole moral order of Christianity, which believes, Christianity believes, that the essence of mortal sin is the deliberate choice of some creature which is known to be gravely forbidden by God. There is such a thing as a single mortal sin that deprives the sinner of the grace of God. When you read, as I just reread a few days ago, the majority decision of our Supreme Court in 1973, legalizing abortion, you begin to realize how devastating is the heresy of fundamental option. Hear it and weep. Behind the Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion was a Catholic Supreme Court judge who, on the basis of the fundamental option heresy, justified the murder of innocent unborn children. The institution of the sacrament of confession. And Jesus Christ providentially instituted the sacrament on Easter Sunday night. As St. John describes the event, the doors were closed in the room where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them. He said to them, "Peace be with you," and showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. He said to them again, "Peace be with you," As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. After breathing on them, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. For those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. For those whose sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven. Unquote. Jesus. And the Catholic Church has defined these words as the way our Lord instituted the sacrament of confession. As we understand these words, our Lord gave the apostles and their successors, bishops and priests, the right to forgive sins if they so judge the penitent worthy, and the corresponding right to retain or not forgive sins if the sinner is not judged sincerely repentant. The implications of this power of judging whether to absolve or not is at the heart of the sacrament of penance. By these words, Christ indicated that before receiving absolution, the sinner must disclose his sins. In a word, he must confess what he did wrong. This means, as the Church calls it, that auricular confession, where the ears, the aures, hear the penitent disclosing his sins. The Church did not invent the confession of sins. It is a divine law from which no one on earth has a right to dispense. Auricular, referring to the ears, or audible confession, is part of divine revelation. It is an unchangeable article of the Catholic faith. We go on. Private confession is of apostolic origin. Note the adjective, private confession. As we know from the Church's history, the early Christians were expected to live very holy lives. And they did. To become a Christian meant to expect to become a martyr. Now, this needs to be said today. Every pope for the first 300 years of the Church's history was murdered for the faith. Countless thousands shed their blood in witness to their love for Christ. To this day, the Colosseum, and of course the catacombs, are proofs in stone to the faith which was stronger than death. They are monuments to the sanctity of those who took Jesus literally, when he told them, I quote, become perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Understandably, therefore, the sacrament of confession was not so frequently received by persons whose lives were a living martyrdom. However, even in the earliest church, sinners were reconciled after they had confessed their sins, received absolution, and performed what to us must seem like extraordinary penance for the wrong they had done. Confessed adultery. In some dioceses would require a pilgrimage from as far as Northern Europe to the Holy Land. The emphasis in those early days was, understandably, on confessing mortal sins. There were bishops who had to be reproved by the Pope for excessive severity, extreme severity, either in demanding public confession of grave sins, or bishops who refused to give absolution for such sins as apostasy, adultery, fornication, or willful murder. The popes kept telling the bishops, there is no crime, none so grave, that a repentant sinner should not be absolved in the sacrament of confession. Over the years in teaching sacramental theology, I've always quoted at length one document issued by Pope St. Leo the Great in the middle of the 5th century. I think it deserves to be quoted in full. The Pope is writing to bishops in Italy, reproving them for demanding a public confession of sins, for receiving absolution in the sacrament of penance. Now the quotation. 3 short paragraphs. I recently heard that some have unlawfully presumed to act contrary to a law of apostolic origin. And I hereby decree that the unlawful practice be completely stopped. It is with regard to the reception of penance. An abuse has crept in which requires that the faithful write out their individual sins in a little book, which is then to be read out loud to the public. All that is necessary, and nothing else, is for the sinner to manifest his conscience in a secret confession to the priest alone. It is enough, therefore, to have first offered one's confession to God, and then also to the priest, who acts as an intercessor for the transgressions of the penitents. Unquote. Pope St. Leo I. It is a matter of history, therefore, that private, individual confession of one's sins to a priest goes back to apostolic times, to the first century of Christianity. Christ himself prescribed confession in the sacrament of penance, and his directives have been followed, I repeat, from before the year 100 A.D. We go on. The Church's infallible teaching. Among the doctrines of revealed faith, which the Church has had to defend, is the precept, note precept of sacramental confession. The Protestant leaders in the 16th century rejected en masse the sacrament of confession as of divine origin. They especially reacted against the Catholic Church's teaching about the need for telling one's sins to a priest. As a result, the Council of Trent issued no less than 15 definitions on the sacrament of penance. What Cardinal George told our bishops last fall: the foundations of American culture are Protestant. How grateful I was to hear those words. And in so many parts of our nation, the Catholic Church is becoming Protestantized. Two of these definitions of the Council of Trent specifically deal with the obligation to confess one's sins to a priest. I will quote two condemnations of the Council of Trent. First, if anyone says that sacramental confession was not instituted by divine law, or that it is not necessary for salvation according to the same law, or if anyone says that the method which the Catholic Church has always observed from the beginning and still observes of confessing secretly to the priest alone is alien to the institution and command of Christ, and that confession is of human origin, let him be anathema. The second condemnation: if anyone says that to obtain remission of sins and the sacrament of confession, it is not necessary, according to divine law, to confess each and every mortal sin that is remembered after proper and diligent examination, even secret sins and sins against the last two commandments, and also confess those circumstances which change the character of a sin, or finally, that it is not permissible to confess venial sins, let that person be anathema. No apology is needed for these long quotations from the Church's irreversible teaching on the sacramental confession of sins. 50 years in the priesthood have taught me a great deal. Either confession, and as we'll see, even frequent confession is restored in our nation, or, as the Holy Father expressed, there is fear of more than one American Catholic diocese disappearing. We continue. No peace without forgiveness. Our purpose in this conference is not only what I've said so far, to lay the foundations for our faith in the sacrament of penance. we are especially interested, pardon me, concerned, to understand how this sacrament provides us with such peace of soul as nothing else on earth can give. Let me repeat, there is nothing under God that more assures us of peace of soul than the sacrament of confession. What are we saying? We are saying that the single most basic and universal source for worry, of anxiety, discouragement, or despair is a sense of guilt that as sinners we all naturally experience. I have counseled too many would-be and some that were suicides. At the root of not just discouragement, but despair is guilt. It was no coincidence that Jesus addressed the disciples with the imperative, "Peace be with you," and repeated for emphasis, "Peace be with you," when he instituted this sacrament of penance. As every psychologist knows, the deepest source of a troubled mind is a guilty conscience. And of all people to say this, Sigmund Freud spends page after page emphasizing Freud, the unbeliever. It is guilt that torments the human heart more than anything else in the world. The word peace is almost a theme of the Gospels. On Christmas morning, the angel told the shepherds that the birth of the Savior was a promise of peace on earth to men of goodwill. During his long discourse at the Last Supper, Jesus promised us, I quote, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." John 14:27. No wonder Jesus is called, because he is the Prince of Peace. As I've said more than once, I was on the faculty of 6 Protestant seminaries, including 7 years on the faculty of the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago. How hungry the Protestants were to hear that we Catholics believe Christ gave us this sacrament of peace.